is only additional and only what is must in the Quran. Sister Naima, the Salah. Now I needed something specific. This is true, but I'm looking for something that for me to spend $5. You know what's $5, you understand? This can be true, but you understand this require for me to take from you $5. Yes? It can be, but we want to... Is yes, but you need to give me the examples that in my mind. This part of the condition, you understand? Yeah? This is true also, but does not, you understand, get $5 for it. I give you example. The gold and the silk. Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam made it forbidden for men. While the gold are lawful for the women, okay, and forbidden for the men, but this was comes from the hadith. It has no relationship because the salah, at least the salah is mentioned. At least the punishment of adulteries have some kind of mention in the Quran. But the gold and the silk has no mentioning in the Quran. Okay? And this came in the hadith only, but was not only as additional. That mean if you want to do it, do it. If you don't, it's up to you. Okay? Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam made it haram for the male of this ummah, halal for the female. Okay? So the argument of it came in the hadith, didn't come in the Quran, this is not enough argument, is not to hold in water, like they say. So, and some they said the madmada and the istinshaq is a must in ghusl and mustahab in wudu. Alaykum salam. If you have janaba, or you have haid, or after menses, or after intercourse, and you're taking a ghusl, now you have to make madmada and istinshaq, wash mouth and nose. But if it's wudu, they make a difference. Okay? And some said it's optional at wudu, and some they said it's must in all the time. And I give you example, and really I don't want to get you too much in arguments of the scholars and the schools to confuse you, because this requires little bit, you understand, more study. But sometimes we have one or two people in the class, they will like, understand, to feel that they loaded up with heavy equipment so they can keep coming to them. So sometimes you have to make them heavy. You give them few things here and there, okay? So, as example, those people like the Hanbali school, Imam Ahmad ibn Hanbal, and Ishaq as example, and great number of the people of ilm and knowledge, they said it's a must to make madmada, okay? And this is mentioned in the Quran, and the Quran, it came according to the language of the Arab, and when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, فَغْسِلُوا وُجُوهَكُمْ, wash your face, because mouth and nose in the face, and this included. So when Allah say wash your face, this is part of the face, need to be washed. Okay? So they said this is clear cut evidence for this. Okay? They said also our proof and our evidence, hadith Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, which is in Sahih al-Bukhari and Sahih Muslim, and this reported by Abu Huraira, said, إِذَا تَوَضَّأَ أَحَدُكُمْ فَلْيَجْعَلْ فِي فَمِهِ وَأَنْفِهِ مَاءً وَلْيَنْثُرْهُ, that when one of you make wudu, let him take water in his mouth and his nose and sniff it out, okay? Or blow it out. And this is a must. Rasulullah ﷺ making an order. Other hadith also, that hadith Luqayt, that Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, "Isbigh al-wudu wa khallil bayna al-asabi' wa baligh fil istinshaq," that make a proper wudu and wash between fingers and sniffs the water all the way, except in a case that you are fasting. Okay? Alright? So that Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said also do this. So when a person is fasting, he have to be careful not to sniff the water all the way in his nose, because it may go inside. Okay? Yeah. So only when you're fasting, you don't sniff the water all the way. But otherwise, you can practice this. Yes, inshallah. Jazakallah khair, akhi, for your patience. And also that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he never neglect washing the mouth and the nose. Okay, this is another evidence. Okay, and they said that about 23 of the Sahaba had narrated the wudu and the description of the wudu of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and none of them had narrated the hadith or described the hadith of wudu Rasulullah sallam without mentioning that nose and mouth, or mouth and nose. Okay. While you see Imam Malik and the school of Shafi'i as example, they said that this is sunnah. That means it's optional, regardless if you're making ghusl or you're making wudu. You don't have to rinse your mouth and sniff water in your nose. We ask them, from where you got this information? They say, we have hadith says that ashara min sunan al-mursaleen, 10 things out of the sunnah of the messengers. Okay? But Imam Ibn Hajar, he has some kind of argument concerning this hadith not be authentic, because he says there is no hadith say ashara min sunan al-mursaleen, but there is hadith spoke about ashara min al-fitra. Okay? So the first argument, Imam Ibn Hajar said, doesn't hold water with me, because the hadith is no hadith with this wording. But there is another hadith say ashara min al-fitra. But the fitra, okay, can be called sunnah, but still must. As example, the beard. You know that sunan al-fitra, what sunan al-fitra mean? The upright nature that been practiced by all messengers. Okay? So they said the word sunnah does not mean sunnah, that means it's up to you to do it, or no. But sunnah means guidance, or the way, or the practice. Okay? So the beard, growing the beard, is one of the sunan al-fitra, that means practiced by all the messengers. And shaving the beard is haram, but we still call it what? Call it sunnah. Means not the term means the option, but means the way and the performance. I say this is the performance of such and such. This is the way of such and such a person. This is the way he do it. Okay? Or you call it, this is his way, you can call it, this is his sunnah. Okay? So, but anyway, what I incline more towards, inshallah, that is a must in wudu as well as ghusl for you to wash your mouth as well as the nose. And let me tell you something, my brothers and sisters, to make it easy in you. You know, this thing about asking, is it sunnah or fard, is it... The Sahaba, may Allah be pleased with them, they did not have this attitude. This for a lazy people. They always try to find excuse, okay, and dragging their feet, okay. Oh, since it's not a must, I understand, so let me do this only, okay? But the Sahaba, in general, I'm saying in general, because we have one Sahabi that I know about, at least one. You remember this Bedouin man came to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, said, "Oh Prophet Allah, what did Allah make it obligatory in me?" He said, "You pray 5 times a day." He said, "Anything else?" He said, "Illa antatawwa," except if you want to do optional. Say, what Allah make it obligatory in me in fast? He said, to fast 1 month. Say, anything else? Say, except if you want to do option. In the end of the hadith, he said, I swear by Allah, I don't add anymore. I make the 5-time prayers, I fast Ramadan. This is it. Only the obligatory acts, nothing else. is this man acceptable? The Prophet ﷺ, he said, if this man keep his word, he will go to paradise. Okay? But in general, the Sahaba, may Allah please with them, they will look for anything the Prophet ﷺ do it or teach it, and they will jump in it. To such a degree that some of them, like Ibn Umar, he used to try to imitate the Prophet ﷺ in everything, to such a degree that one time he was leading the caravan for Hajj. Thousands of people traveling with him. He was leading them. Finally, he stopped everybody. And after this, he went a walk by himself and went to a place. He said, I accompany the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and I remember that he went in this place and he used the bathroom. You see? Matter of using calling of nature, but he's still so strict that even some place the Prophet ﷺ went and he pee in it, he want to go there, and he said, I have no need for it to use the bathroom. But because the Prophet ﷺ, one day he was traveling with me and we came from this road and he went there by this tree and he used the bathroom. They used to be so concerned to imitate the Prophet ﷺ. But we came to time that the people start to understand grabbing their deen little bit by little bit. What is sunnah? What is, oh, but the imam, my school, I don't have time. So now you found even people, they start to neglect the obligatory. You see? The people start to even slow down and dragging their feet about things which is obligatory. And this, my brothers and sisters, like what? Like the siyaj, the sur, the fence. Okay? The fence, it gives you protection. This wild dog or this thief, you understand? So instead of coming to the door right away, you have to jump the fence first. Okay? And after this, you have to walk in the... So this already was like an obstacle for him. And after this comes the front door. And after this, it comes to the door of the house. And after this, the door of the bedroom, finally, to get you. Okay? And all these things is taking more of his time and slowing him down. So the more that we get the deen in our life, the more protection for ourselves. You see? So now the sin is not become more easier for us, because we have all these things that will protect in our sin, ourselves from the sunnah of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So don't get lost about, oh, but what did the school say? And what this man said? And this is it sunnah? But sunnah means, I understand, you get more reward, or as a sunnah that mean a must, is it mean, can I? Why? Because you concerned about pleasing Allah. And you want to get the love of Allah. How are you going to get the love of Allah if you are not following the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam and they try to get closer to Allah through the practice of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam? So when you get caught in the middle of, oh, is it obligatory, is it sunnah, is it no? Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, when I command you with something, do as much as you can. You remember khutbah al-jum'ah? The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said to them, make hajj. And this man, he came and he asked, oh, Prophet of Allah, we do it every year? Quiet. Oh, Prophet of Allah, do it every year? He's quiet. O Prophet of Allah, should we do it every year? The Prophet ﷺ didn't like it. Okay? And he gives him the general instruction. What it is? That when I command you to do something, stop asking too much questions. Must and fard every year, every day. If I told you do it, now do the best you can. You can make 100, make 100. You can make 5, make 5. You can, and the minimum going to be what? Going to be 1. Okay? So when I command you to do something, do the best you can. But look now, the difference. And when I forbid you from something, leave it alone. Okay? So the command to do, do the best you can. But when he forbid you from something, this, you could not say, oh, he forbid me from this, but I can only make half. No. Say, oh, he said, don't drink wine. It's haram to drink, but I'm going to sell it. Oh, no, I'm not going to sell it, brother. I don't, this is haram. But only I'm going to, you understand, make advertising about it. Okay? So, you still assist. Something forbidden? Now wash your hands completely from it. Don't make, you understand, any connection. Don't fix the store. Don't put writing on the store. Don't have nothing to deal with it. And you found Rasulullah s.a.w. when he cursed the wine, he cursed what? 10 people involved in it. Not only the person who drinking it, the person who drinking it, the person who serving it, the person who transporting it, the person who squeezing the juice. Everybody get involved. Same thing about the bank, usury. The usury. The person who giving it, the person who's taking it, the person who's recording it. The haram, run away from it. Something the Prophet ﷺ recommended, do your best. As much you can, do it. He commanded you to fast or to do as much fasting. He told you about sadaqah, do as much as sadaqah. This is the attitude that a Muslim is supposed to have to make the deen easier on him. And the more you get to the deen, the more life gets easier in you. Otherwise you'll be caught with these problems of this dunya. Because in dunya is nothing except the problems. You see? And we take from this dunya like a sick person taking from the medicine. You don't take the medicine until you're sick. And you take and understand what is necessary. Other than this, you don't need it. So we deal with this problem, we deal with this dunya, only what is enough to keep us surviving. Otherwise, the rest of your time involved in your deen. Learn it, studying it, teaching it, giving da'wah to it. This is what it is. And the more you get to into the deen, the more things get better for you. Okay? And from the deen, to help your Muslim brother. And when I say brother, I mean brother and sister. Okay? Your Muslim brother can help you, and your sister can help you, and you can help your brother, and you can be your sister. Okay? Everybody. Like you see, Brother Shabir is going to help me by asking his wife to sew this thing for me. So, this all this is assistance. Alright? So, don't think the deen only making salah. Alright? When we cooperate together, and somebody try to get the microphone, somebody try to get the book, and somebody try to get the table, and everybody, and somebody try to get the, with the class, and somebody try to come here, okay? So we contribute for something to exist, and somebody will go and make the labels, and somebody take the audio and duplicate it, and somebody try to make. See, this is a way to flourish and make this deen spread. It's not only me, but yes, this is part of it. But when somebody go and take this tape and they try to duplicate it and spread, this is another means of letting it go. But when we leave, Muhammad Adli doing everything, it's going to be hard in him. See? So don't think you understand when I say deen in 24 hours, that means you take a book and say, like this. No. Deening, that means how to please Allah. And pleasing Allah have a different form. Studying is one. Teaching is one. Da'wah is one. Helping the other Muslim is one. You see? All these things part of what we're supposed to do. The dunya, yes, I need to support my family. So I go, I made enough money to support my wife, my kids, pay the rent, pay the tip. Ah, this extra money, okay, $10-$15 more extra, good. So we can have some cake once a week or twice a cake. And they said, I don't have to be rich. Let this time, you understand, spend it in the deen. You want to get rich? Rich for what? So a house after a house and a car after a car. Yeah, I want to get rich so I can go buy more equipment. So now instead we have it in audio, we're going to have it in video. Instead of a video now, we're going to have it in the internet. Instead of internet, we're going to have the CD. So we always thinking about how you can make money for what? To establish the deen more. But having more money and more money and more money, believe it or not, you're never going to say enough. Because it's the nature of a human being. And the Prophet ﷺ said, if you have a valley full with gold, not you understand this little bit money that you and me making it, say a valley full with gold. Can you imagine? You know, a valley full with gold. Your nature is what? He said, son of Adam is not going to be satisfied, and he's told what? Wishing for the second valley. And if he have two valleys full with gold, he will wish what? And say, nothing will satisfy son of Adam except what? This is it. When you go in the dust, this is the only thing will be enough to fill your greed. This is the only time they make you stop. Only when you in the dirt is there, this is the only time you're going to you're going to stop. You understand? So brothers and sisters, inshallah, this is the approach that we like to take for our deen. That you know that Allah said it, the Prophet said it, the hadith is authentic. So now go ahead and try to do it. And as Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala saying, لا يكلف الله نفسا إلا وسعها. Allah doesn't put any burden in any soul more than their capacity. Try. You can get up at night and pray eight raqat, alhamdulillah. Somebody else will get up at night and make only four raqat. Still good. Somebody else, he will get up and all what he can do is two raqat. Still good. But try. Somebody else will get up and all what he say, subhanallah, alhamdulillah, ilaha, is so tired. Subhanallah, alhamdulillah, la ilaha illallah, Allahu Akbar, Allahumma ghafirli, oh Allah forgive me. Go sleep again. Still good. As long you try, this is good. But when you close the door, oh brothers, yeah, this is sunnah. This is not, you understand. Oh, well, maybe later. Oh, maybe you understand. I have to finish my school now. I have to, you understand, do this now. So everything, we delayed it because something else of this. This is the whole thing. Remember the khutbah about the fitna? This is a big fitna. So inshallah, our approach, especially when we come about confused, is it must, is not must? Is it something good or no? Imagine that rinsing the mouth is not even sunnah. Can you imagine rinsing the mouth, something good for you or no? You have a clean mouth. Your mouth is clean. When you talk to somebody and when you smile, they don't see the mulukhiya and the Spanish, you understand, and your teeth. It's something good. You see, there is nothing in this deen that Allah command us or His Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam except is good. Subhanallah. Everything. So now why we so sit down debating, is it sunnah or not? Go and clean your nose and this head. Take all this dirt and all this stuff out. Even if it's not sunnah, it's still something good for you. Is it? It is. Alhamdulillah. So inshallah, I'm going to try to keep you away from this argument. You understand, this person said this and this person said and this person did. Okay, and to try to give you the summary of what I know to be the best, inshallah. And for those who need to be more scholarly level, they can have a different, class, inshallah. Because you see, like, until now, we only got, what, one hadith? Let's go to the second hadith. Read, Brother Habib, please.
وعن علي رضي الله تعالى عنه في صفة وضوء النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم قال ومسح برأسه واحدة أخرجه أبو داود وأخرجه النسائي والترمذي بإسناد صحيح بل قال الترمذي إنه أصح شيء في الباب. علي, may Allah be pleased with him, رضي الله عنه, is the fourth خليفة of the Khulafa Rashidin, and he is the father of Al-Hasan, and he is the husband of one of the Prophet's daughter, Fatima radiallahu anha, and he is the cousin of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. he accepted Islam before he reached puberty. Means wahida, that mean once. Talking about the hadith now. First, the hadith is authentic and in the collection of Abu Dawood, At-Tirmidhi, An-Nisa'i, and this hadith in actuality is part of a long hadith, which in this long hadith was a description of the wudu of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam from the beginning to the end. And we are not going to go through it because it's similar to a hadith of Humran, the one we just finished it, which is the second hadith that we mention in the chapter. What page in Habib? Yes. Okay, hadith Humran, that the one we mentioned, so it's similar to it. But why the author of the book brought this hadith here? That because he said وَهُوَ مَسْحُ الرَّأْسِ مَرَّةِ, that he said that he wiped over his head once. This is a point. Why he brought this hadith? To bring this point, that he wiped over his head. And he made the statement very clear that was one time. While the rest of the hadith is speaking about washing the limbs three times. Okay? This is the main issue or the main point for this hadith. From this hadith, we understand the sunnah of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and when I mean sunnah, you see, even the way how they using it. See, the sunnah of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, that means that the way of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, that you don't wipe over your head three times, but you do what? You do it one time only. Okay? And we can go to the next hadith inshallah, which hadith number 32, page number 24. وعن عبد الله بن زيد بن عاصم رضي الله تعالى عنه في صفة الوضوء قال ومسح رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم برأسه فأقبل بيديه وأدبر. narrated عبد الله بن زيد بن عاصم that رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم بن عاصم describing the nature of ablution performance of Allah his messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam wiped his head from the forehead to the back of his head and then back to the forehead with this with his wet hands. Agreed. That mean in Bukhari and Muslim. Abdullah ibn Zayd ibn Asim, may Allah be pleased with him, he describing the wudu of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and he said that Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam he aqbal wa adbar. Okay, that means he started from his forehead until he went to the end of his head. And after this he come back with it. Okay? Abdullah ibn Zayd ibn Asim is different from Abdullah ibn Zayd ibn Abd Rabbu. Is different from Abdullah ibn Zayd, the man who saw the adhan in his dream. The way how that Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam did it, that he wet his hand and start from the forehead, the beginning of the hair, he goes back all the way to the end, okay, of the hair, come back again to the front. Okay, this is the description of the mash or the wiping over the head, and this is the reason that he brought this to show us the description. So this is the additional information of this, to go and come again to the front. This is the wiping of the head. From this hadith, we understand that the person is supposed to start from the beginning of his hair until the end, and after this, to come back again to the same place where he started from. And from this hadith also, we understand that Rasulullah ﷺ wiped over his whole head, because in some schools, the teachers that you wipe, understand, is tell you that about three fingers, the size or the space of three fingers is enough. If you did the forehead like this, this called wipe. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said in Quran, وَمْسَحُ بِرُؤُوسِكُمْ, okay? And the ra's is not a part, is a whole. Some people, they say that be, this mean it teaches you, or according the language is, mean a portion of the head. But this is not a the proper Arabic way of using be here. Okay? The ba, biru'usikum. Okay? So from this narration we learn that the way how to wipe over the head and the proper sunnah that of Rasulullah ﷺ to start and to go to the back and come back again. Hadith number 33, page number 24. وعن عبد الله ابن عمرو رضي الله تعالى عنهما في صفة الوضوء قال ثم مسح برأسه وأدخل إصبعيه السباحتين في أذنيه ومسح بإبهامه على ظاهر أذنيه. أخرجه أبو داود والنسائي وصححه ابن خزيمة. This hadith number 33. The hadith is authentic, and the hadith in the collection of Abu Dawood and Imam al-Nisa'i ibn Khuzayma with a Hassan Isnad, and Sheikh al-Albani Hafizahullah, he said concerning this hadith is authentic. This hadith, the reporter of this hadith, which is Abdullah ibn Amr, he is Abdullah ibn Amr ibn al-As. His father was older than him, 13 years old only. Okay? And if I'm not mistaken, that Amr ibn al-As, he became like a khalifa or a governor over Egypt. And he's a Sahabi, and his son also is a Sahabi. السباحتين is a dual to the two fingers, what you call it your index finger. And they call it sabaha because when you make tasbih, you point with this finger, okay? As example, if something surprise or you say something or you make, you raise this finger, okay? And the tasbih. This also a portion of a long hadith which Abdullah ibn Amr ibn al-As, he had narrated concerning the description of, you can see how many sahabi reporting about description of the wudu of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. This shows you how much the sahaba, they were so concerned about relating the information that they saw or they heard from the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Okay? And why we narrate in this hadith here, or why is this in this chapter? Because there is additional information, which is what? That putting the index finger in the ear, inside. Okay? This is the additional information. And the kaifiyah, or the way how you suppose to wipe his ear, okay, which is the index finger will be inside your ear while the thumb, okay,
will be wiping the ear from the outside. We understand this? Okay? Okay, so this one go here, and this one goes here. Okay, this one washing here, this one washing here. Okay? And will be in the same time that you bought your two. Okay? Alright. This is the reason this hadith came here. Hadith number 34. And this is hadith Abu Huraira. May Allah be pleased with him. Qala Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, إذا استيقظ أحدكم من منامه فليستنثر ثلاثة فإن الشيطان يبيت على خيشومه. Abu Huraira, may Allah be pleased with him, narrated that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam saying, when one of you wakes up from his sleep, he must blow off his nose 3 times, for the shaitan spends the night inside one's nostril. Okay. Agreed. Bukhari and Muslim. Okay. And now we come, you remember I 2 weeks ago I spoke about people who judging things by their mind, okay, and says it doesn't make sense, or how you understand you can, and they rejecting a hadith because some strange meaning to them, okay. But you never saw the shaitan, you don't know what the shaitan look like, okay. So these things that we never have similarity to it, that we could not see it, neither we have a similarity to it, we have to accept it as is. As long as the hadith is authentic, we have to submit and accept. Only Allah knows how. Okay? Says that the shaitan will sleep. He spends the night there. So when you get up, you do what? You blow your nose 3 times. Okay? And when you say yabid, that means he spends the night. And the khayshum, it can be the whole nose, or can be the light bones that inside, or can be in the end. Okay? But the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he telling us what is the purpose to do this. And regardless if you're going to make wudu or no, you go sniff water and you do what? 3 times. And you blow it out 3 times. Okay? So doesn't matter if you're going to make wudu or no, you still have to make istinthar. This is the teaching of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and this is something also another addition related, although that it doesn't talk about the wudu, but it has some kind of relationship about the washing the nose. The nose. Hadith number 35. Okay. And I said, I repeat again, the hadith is authentic. The highest authenticity is in Bukhari and Muslim. You could not reject it. Okay? And to somebody said, how a shaitan can sleep in somebody's nose? How little is the shaitan, or how big the shaitan? Because if he's little, he goes in your nose, or how he's big. He said, but is the shaitan making all this mischief is such a small? To such a degree he goes inside your nose? He can be inside your nose, or he can sleep on top of your nose. Okay? But these things Allah knows best. Allah gives him ability. Something can be big and after this can be shrinking. Okay? So we don't know these things. Understand Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows best about it, and we accept it as is. The next hadith, which hadith number 35, إذا استيقظ أحدكم من نومه فلا يغمس يده في الإناء حتى يغسلها ثلاثة فإنه لا يدري أين باتت يده. Which is the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam telling us that when one of you gets up, from his sleep not to dip his hand in the bucket, okay, before he washed it three times, because you don't know where did your hand been while you were sleeping, okay? This hadith, the hadith is in Bukhari and in Muslim, okay? And Imam Shafi'i, okay, as well as the majority, states that you should do this regardless whatever sleep, that means during night or during the day, okay? The washing of the hands before you dip it in the bucket or before you make an wudu, okay? Although that some they understood from this hadith that the washing of the hands became a must only from the sleeping at night, okay? Some people say that the reason that because a person at night when he's sleeping, okay, because the longer sleep that he sleep is at night, and the person has no, he's not aware where did his hand go, alright, and maybe understand fall in your private parts or in some place which is dirty, and after this if you go dip it in the water before you wash it out, okay, you will take this impurity to the water, okay. And some other scholars they understood because also it can be the shaitan like sleeping in your hand or doing something in your hand, whatever it is, but still we don't, if we don't understand why, we understand that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam teaching us that when you get up from your sleep before you dip your hands in the bucket to make wudu, you have to wash it out of this water that you're going to take from it three times, and if a faucet, you still have to wash your hands what, three times also before you making your wudu. So the wudu, if a person making wudu after getting up from sleep, the washing of the hands became a must, okay? And the washing of the hands during other time, it is optional, is sunnah, you get reward for it, okay? Hadith number 36. حديث لقيط ابن صبرة رضي الله عنه قال قال رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم أسبغ الوضوء وخلل بين الأصابع وبالغ في الاستنشاق إلا أن تكون صائما. وفي رواية إذا توضأت فمضمض. And I think we already had talk about this hadith, okay? And the isnad of it is good, and Sheikh Al-Albani حفظه الله, he said that the hadith is authentic, which the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam is saying in this hadith, perform a perfect wudu ablution, run your fingers through the fingers of the hands of the toes and the toes, and if not fasting, sniff water up well inside the nose, okay? This is what you call the takhleel, okay? Washing between the fingers. So you can wash this with this, and this with this, and this with this, okay? This you wash. And you can go also with your finger between your toes, okay? So this hadith has additional information. First, make a proper ablution, that means make sure the limb is covered good, okay, special behind the elbow, special behind your ankle, because the water can be running and leaving a spot, dry spots, okay? This is very important to watch for here and watch for this, okay? And the second thing that we learn from this hadith, the takhleel, okay, takhleel, that means to wash between the fingers, alright, and your toes. And number three, that al-istinshaq, sniffing water inside the nose, that you try to take it as far as you can, except what? If you're fasting, you don't do this, only take it little bit inside.